Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin. We're going to begin in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanim. The Braisa discusses the halacha of the vidui on the par that the Mishnah yesterday discussed, that the Kohen brought his own par on Yom Kippur, and the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss now that vidui. V'chiper, the pasuk says that kaparos should be done. V'kaparos dvar makos medaber. So says the Braisa, we're referring to vidui, saying vidui. Ask the Gemara, at the oim v'kaparos dvarim, oy ein el v'kaparos tamim. Who says that the pasuk refers to vidui? Perhaps the pasuk refers to what kapara normally means. Kapara normally means zrikas adam. How are ni done? Says the Braisa, I'm going to learn the following Zereshova. Nemakan kapara. The Torah uses the word kapara regarding the power of the Kohen Gadol. Nemala halon kapara. By the Sor la'azazel, which we will speak about more later in the Shir, but they had two seirim, two goats. One was la'azazel, that was thrown down on the mountain, and one was la'ashem, was brought as a carbon. The Sor la'azazel, there was no Zerikas Adam, because it's not brought as a carbon. But the Torah uses the word kapara. So if the Torah uses the word kapara there, it must mean vidui. Nemakan kapara, the Torah uses the word kapara regarding the power of the Kohen Gadol. Nemalahal kapara, the Torah uses the word kapara regarding the Sor la'azazel. Ma kapara amura besoyer must mean dvarim, because there was nothing else that could mean. There is no Zerikas Adam. Af kapara omer bepar, so to the kapara that the Torah uses regarding the power of the Kohen Gadol must mean dvarim, and that's how I know that there has to be vidui set on that power. Vim nafshach loimer, and if you will question this Xereshava, and the Gemara in a moment will tell us what possible question we could have on this Xereshava, hareyu oimer, let's learn the psukim regarding this power. It says in the pasuk, the hikr of Aaron as a par achat sashaloi. Aaron should bring his par. And then the pasuk says, the chiper pa'adu v'adbei, so do the kapara that we're discussing. However, da'in lo nishkara par. When the Torah tells us to do kapara, it was before the shechita. So by definition, the chiper must be devarim, vidui. Because it can't mean zrikas adam, because the pasuk that tells us to do the chiper is before there was a shechita. There is no blood to do zrika on. So it must be that v'chiper means vidui. So we said, ma'ivim nafshach loimer. We said you may want to ask a kasha that the gzeris shava between tzor la'azazel and par of the Kohen Gadol is not a legitimate gzeris shava. What is the question you could ask? V'chi teimer, you'll say, instead of learning from the tzor la'azazel, why don't you learn neilat misor Hanas b'fnim, from the other soil, which we said, is brought as a kapara, the there, kaparasa b'damim. There, the chiper, where the Torah used the word the chiper, it means zrikas adam. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, the Torah uses the word the chiper by the par of the Kohen Gadol, the Torah uses the word the chiper by Sor la'ashem, and Sor la'azazel. So if I'm going to compare the par, perhaps I should prefer to compare it to the Sor la'ashem and not compare it to the Sor la'azazel. And the Siach Yitzchak explains very nicely. It makes more sense, actually, to compare it to the power, to the Sor la'ashem than to the Sor la'azazel. Why? They're both kabonis that are actually slaughtered and the dam is sprinkled inside the base of Mikdash. And they both come for the aver of Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshov. So if I'm going to have to choose to which soyer I should compare the par, I should preferably compare it to the Sor la'ashem. Now ask the Rishonim, and maybe on the Sor la'ashem there was also vidui. You're saying if I compare it to the Sor la'ashem, there won't be any vidui, because there was no vidui by the Sor la'ashem. How do we know there was no vidui by the Sor la'ashem? So they say a very interesting pshat. They say, what happened, as we'll learn later? They did a gairel, they did a lottery, and one animal was identified as a Sor la'ashem. Once an animal is identified that it's Kodesh Lashem, it's inappropriate to do vidui and say your own averus on that carbon. So therefore there was no vidui there, and perhaps we compare the power to that carbon, there should be no vidui by the power. Therefore, says the Gemara, how do I know that it was vidui by the par? Harayu oimer v'chiper. Since the Torah, when it speaks about v'chiper by the par, is v'adayin loy nishchan par, is before the shechita, so it must be v'chiper means the vidui. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah yesterday taught us the nusach, what should be said in this vidui. So the Mishnah said we use the word ana. So the Taisus Shishanim explains the Gemara as follows, and follows the way we explained the Gemara yesterday. The Kohen Gadol said first ana Hashem, and then he said ana Bishem. And we explained the difference between ana Hashem and ana Bishem is ana Bishem is a tefillah. So we could understand the word ana, which means please. We could understand Bishem, we're begging God. But the first ana Hashem is a vidui. So ask the Gemara, where does the word ana, please, fit in to a language when we're saying vidui? Menayin sha'am ana, says the Gemara. Nema kan kapara. The Torah uses the word kapara by this par. V'nem lahalim b'chayriv kapara. The Torah by Har Sinai, when Moshe Rabbeinu was begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness, for Klal Yisrael, used the word ana after the Chet HaEgel. Malahalim ba'ana. Just like there, the word ana is used Afkan ba'ana. Furthermore, Menayin Shebashem. Again, how do we know that the Hashem's name should be used in the vidui? Says the Gemara, Nema Kant Kapara. Here the Torah by the Avoid on Yom Kippur uses the word Kapara. V'nemla v'egla rufa, if a corpse is found between two cities, and we don't know how it happened, how he was murdered, so we go through the procedure of egla rufa, and what has to be said there is, the Pasuk says they have to say, Kapar l'amcha Yisrael asher podiso Hashem, so Hashem's name is used, and the word Kapara is used there too. Nema kan kapara, v'nema be'egla rufa kapara, ma'la halen be'egla rufa, Hashem's name, b'shem is used, afkan Hashem's name is used. But now the Gemara says, we learned the par of Yom Kippur from egla rufa, and we learned from chayrif. But why don't we learn chayrif from egla rufa? Amabaya, bishlam chayrif me'egla rufa lo yalef, and said that Moshe Rabbeinu used Hashem's name. Why? Ma'la hava hava. So the two pshatim ma'la hava hava. Rashi learns, there's no point in talking and speaking about what nusach Moshe Rabbeinu used. It was a one-time event. It's not a nusach that's reused. So what's the difference? That's how Rashi explains. Taisus Yisharim says that what Moshe Rabbeinu did was he was mispalel. A person that davens from the heart. Whatever comes out, whatever words come out. So it's not possible to start thinking that perhaps, since by Egla Rufit says Hashem's name, he should use Hashem's name. It has to come from the heart. But ask the Gemara, Egla Rufa Talif Mechayrif. Why don't we learn Egla Rufa Mechayrif and say, just like by Chayrif the word honor was used, so too by Egla Rufa it should be used. V'chi Teima Hochinami. Perhaps you'll say, yeah, maybe by Egla Rufa the word honor is used. Ask the Gemara Batanan, the Mishnah Masechta Soita that describes the procedure of Egla Rufa says that the Kohanim said, HaKohanim Amr Kamcha Kapel Amcha Yisrael. It doesn't say that they used the word ana. So obviously we don't learn egla rufa from chayrif. And the Gemara says, kasha, we don't understand why not. But we have a rule throughout Shas. When the Gemara stays with a question, the Gemara could use one of two terminologies. It could either say tiyufta, or it could say kasha. What's the difference? When the Gemara says tiyufta, it means it's a kasha that there's no answer to. When the Gemara says kasha, it means there's a question, but there's an answer. So some of the Achroinim attempt to say an answer. The Meshech Chochma says that since the Torah gives us the exact prescription of what should be said by Egla Rufa, what the Torah is essentially telling us is, only what we tell you to say, say, don't say any more, and don't say any less. Another Torah that the Mitzvah Eisen gives is that the words by Egla Rufa, there are no extra words, and there are no extra words by Chayrif. To learn Gzeir Shava, you have to have extra words. There are no extra words, so there's no reason and no way to learn Gzeir Shava. But we did learn on Yom Kippur, the Kohen said Ana Hashem in his vidui. And there's an interesting Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that whenever vidui is said, whenever anybody wants to confess and do tshuva, he says Ana Hashem. Others say that it's only used on Yom Kippur, and yet others say that it's only used on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol. And we learned that when they heard Hashem's name, the Hain Oinim Achrav, everybody would answer, they would say, Baruch Shem Kvay Machusay Leilam Voad. Tanya Rabbi Oimer. How do we know that we're supposed to say Baruch Shem? Because the Pasuk says, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Hava Goydel Lekeinu, Om Lam Moshe Yisrael, Moshe Ben Atol Klai Yisrael, V'shah Shani Mas Kishmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Ato Hava Goydel, you should praise His name. Baruch Shem. Chananya Ben Achir Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, the Pasuk says, Nishlei, Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha, Om Lahem Novi Yisrael, the Novi tells Klai Yisrael, V'shah Shani Mas Kitzadik Oilomim, when I mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Atem Tnu Baruch Hu, you should bless Him. So Mepharshim asks, why do we need a second pasuk of Zeichet Tzadik Levracha? What's not? Why can't we just rely on the pasuk of Kishem Hashem Ekra Hava Goydel Elokeinu? So a number of answers are given. One answer is Kishem Hashem Ekra Hava Goydel Elokeinu was said Barabim. It's the Shira Sazinu. So I would think maybe when only Hashem's name is mentioned in public, that's when you have to say Baruch Shem. But any other time, not. That's why the Gemara brings another pasuk Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Another teretz that I saw, Kishem Hashem Ekra only teaches us that you're supposed to bless Hashem. But how do you know you have to bless any tzaddik? So we have Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Another teretz, based on what we learned yesterday, is yesterday we explained that the Yerushalmi says that once there was a concern that if people would hear how the Kohen Gadol mentions Hashem's name, they would start using it, because he used the whole pronunciation. He said it quietly. So I would say Kishem Hashem Ekra is only when it's mentioned out loud. How do we know when it's mentioned quietly? So we have Zeichet Tzadik Levracha even when it's mentioned quietly. And the fourth teretz I saw is that the Gemara uses Kishem Hashem Ekra to teach us that we have to say Birchas HaTorah. So I would say, when do you have to bless Hashem's name? When you hear Hashem's name in a bracha. How do you know if you just hear somebody say something about Hashem, not in the context of a bracha? That's how we know you have to say Zeichet Tzadik Levracha in all contexts. And the Rosh says that our Gemara is the basis for saying Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai. We hear Hashem's name, we have to say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai. In fact, the Rishonim take it a step further, that not only is Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai said when we hear Hashem's name in a bracha, but even when we hear Hashem's name not in a bracha, when we, the minig is that when we hear Birchus Kohanim, every time the Kohanim mention Hashem's name, we say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai. It's not part of a bracha. Just whenever you hear Hashem's name, say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai. However, the halacha is that since Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai is mentioned only by the Rishonim, it's not mentioned in the Gemara, we never say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai if we're in the middle of davening. So certainly if we're in the middle of Birchus Krishma, we shouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai. But even during Pesuk de Zimra, where you're normally allowed to answer Amen if you hear a bracha, Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai you're not supposed to answer. And that's why also the minig is that if you're listening to somebody else say a bracha, and you're being yaitza with him, you shouldn't interrupt the Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai. It's considered a hefsik. It's an extraneous statement. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, La Halacha, that if somebody does say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai when he's listening to a bracha that he's going to be mekayim the mitzvah with, you're listening to the Baal Pekei say the bracha on the shofar, and you accidentally say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai, you're yaitza the bracha. However, on the other hand, we shouldn't belittle Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai. The Paiskim say, for example, when people say short brachas, like the Birchas HaShachar, they should be careful, the Paiskim say, to make a stop after saying Baruch Ata Hashem, to give everybody the opportunity to say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemai, as our Gemara just taught us, Kishem Hashem Ekra Hava Godel Elokeinu. Continues the Mishnah. Baruch HaMizrach HaZorah, not a kind approaches the east side of the Azara, L'tzfayin HaMizbeach, is on the north of the Mizbeach, has gan mi yaminoi, the vice Kohen Gadol stands on his right side, v'roish beis av mismalai. If we know that the Kohanim were divided into 24 mishmeiros, into 24 groups, every day of the week there was a different beis av, a different family, which had a roish beis av. So who, the person who would have been the roish beis av on that day, stood to his left. Why does the Kohen approach with two people walking with him? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, as we're going to learn in the shiur tomorrow, the scan matters on which hand the lottery came out. Either somebody on the right or somebody on the left would have to say something, so we needed a person on the right and the left. Another pshat is, it was covered for the Kohen Gadol that he walked with people accompanying him. And the third pshat is, just like we find that when Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, he had Yeshua on one side and Chur on the other, so too, the Kohen Gadol had two people with him when he was mispalel for Klal Yisrael. V'sham shnei seirim, there were two goats there. V'klap ha'ayis sham, there was a box. U'boy shnei groels, there were two pieces of paper. Shel askra ha'ya. Originally the box was made out of wood. V'asim ben gamla shel zav. Then ben gamla went and made it out of gold. V'ayimaskirna shel shvach, and he was praised for turning it into gold. Ben Katan, Osin Yudbeis Dad Lakir. Ben Katan made 12 spouts for the Kir, Shloi HaYisham Elishnayim. Originally there were only 2 spouts. But as we learned in the previous Mishnah, we could have a situation that 12 Kahanim should have to do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim at the same time. How? Because we learned that the second pious had 13 people. But one of them was Shechita. Shechita is Ksher Bazar. Since it's Ksher Bazar, it doesn't require Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. But then you have 12 Kohanim. Ben Katan wanted to avoid any friction. So if you have 12 spouts, there's no problem. Nobody has to stand in line. So instead of just having the original 2 spouts, he made 12. V'af hu asam mukhni l'kir. He also made this mukhni for the kir, shlayi meimav nefsalim belina. Pshat's like this. The halacha is that anything that's kaidish, that's left out overnight, becomes pasul, becomes disqualified because of lina. So if the water, if there was water in the kir overnight, that water would become disqualified. He made the following invention. This is the way most Rishonim learn. He made a pulley system where the water in the kir got submerged underground overnight. So since it was submerged and in the well overnight, it doesn't become disqualified. That's the way most Rishonim learn. The Rambam has a much simpler invention. He says that the water in the kir was never kept in the kir. It was always kept in a barrel on the side of the kir. So since it was in the barrel is not a kli kodesh. Only water in a kli kodesh would become disqualified, not water in that barrel that would be kept on the side of the kir. There's also interesting, Shaila, if the kir is considered a kli kodesh. Mumbus HaMelech, Machlokes is who he was. Some say he was from the Malchay of the family of Chashmonaim. Others say he was Hordas' son. Others say he was Talmai's son. HaKelim Shem Kippurim Shazav. He made all the handles of the vessels used in Yom Kippur out of gold. Hilni, Imai, Hilni, his mother. Osin, the Vresha Shazav. She made like a gold plate. Al Pesachai HaKechel, on the door of the base of Migdosh. The Afhi Osotavla Shazav. She also made a gold plate, a gold tablet. Shapashis Soitik Suvala. That the Pasha of Soitik, if a woman is accused of adultery, was written on it. That when they wrote, they had to write that parsha on a parchment and put it into Mayim Hamarim. How did they know what to write? They had this gold plaque, which they got the words off. Nikner, Nasa Nisim L'dal Soysov. There were tremendous Nisim miracles that happened to the doors of Nikner. For Yemaskin HaSeh L'Shvach, and he's mentioned to, for praise, as we will explain in the next blot. So the Mishnah mentioned that the Kohen Gadol did the Goyrel for on the two goats in the Tzofen of Mizbeach, which seems to indicate, the Rishonim explain our Gemara, that the Mizbeach was not in Tzofen. So like the Tais Rishonim explains, we wanted Midrabonon that the Goyrel, that the lottery should take place in the Tzofen. Because since the Shechita will take place in the Tzofen, we want the Goyrel to take place in the Tzofen. But the Mishnah says that it took place to the north of the Mizbeach. What does it mean to the north of the Mizbeach? That means they couldn't do it in the near the Mizbeach because the Mizbeach is not in the north side. Mechlal, the Mizbeach la betzofenkoi. The Mizbeach was in the north, and that's why if they wanted to be in the north, they had to go north of the Mizbeach. Mani, who is the mandama that holds that none of the Mizbeach, now 1 inch of the Mizbeach was in the north side, says the Gemara of Elazar ben Yaakovi. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, Tzfoin lefnei Hashem, says Elazar ben Yaakovi, according to Elazar ben Yaakov, the Mizbeach wasn't in the north. It was completely in the south because the north side was completely open. Tosfos says it wasn't completely open. There were some vessels and utensils that were needed for Shechita there, but the Mizbeach, which is a big item, wasn't there. Ask the Gemara, but yesterday we explained for Reish Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. Yesterday we explained that it's going according to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar of Shimon holds that the Mizbeach was half bedoroim, but half betzofin. So we have a stira. The previous Mishnah holds, says the Gemara, that half of the Mizbeach was betzofin, and this Mishnah learns that none of it was betzofin. answers the Gemara, Kula Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hi. Both Mishnayos should be interpreted like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but Tani v'Bein Ulam Mizbeach, and learn that it was done in the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach. That's where the power was brought, but there was no Mizbeach there. It was in front of the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach was Bedaroim, and this was on the Tzofen side. So we learned Asgam b'Yeminoi, for Rosh Beis Ar b'Smoiloi. On Rav Yehuda, there's a Mishnah that says, HaMahalach Limin Rabbi, somebody walks to the right of his Rebbe, HaRezeh Bor. He's a Bor. He's like, worse than I'm Oritz. Why? So Mepharshim say two reasons. One reason is, because if somebody walks right to the right of his Rebbe, it looks like he considers himself an equal to his Rebbe. Another pshat is, most people are righties. So if you walk to the right of your Rebbe, your right hand is right next to your Rebbe's hand, it's hard to work with your right hand. If you walk to his left, it's much easier to work with your right hand, which we want you to be able to service your Rebbe better. A boor, the Farshim explained, is even worse than Amoritz. The Farshim explained, Amoritz is somebody who doesn't think right. A boor not only doesn't think right, he doesn't act right. Tanan, ask the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, has Gambi Minoi, that the scan was on the right of the Koyin, Varesh Oyev Smiley. Boy, there's a price that says, Tanya, Shlosh Shoyim Mahalchim Derech, three people are walking on the road, Harab Emts, the Rebbe should be in the middle. And from here we see Rav doesn't mean specifically somebody you learn from. Rav means somebody who's great, like the Kohen Gadol. The Rav is in the middle. Gadol b'yaminai. The second most important person in the group should be on the right, the Katan b'smoilai. The Kemetzinos, as we find, B'shloish Malach HaShores, Shabbat Eitzel Avram, the three Malachim that came to visit Avram, Michal, who was the greatest, was Be'emtza, Gavriel, who was the next, was B'yaminai on his right, Rafal, who was the next, was B'smoilai. So how could, should we have a stira? Can you walk to the right of your Rebbe or not? Answers the Gemara, Tergmer of Shmuel, Papa Kameder of Ada, Kedei Shiskas by Rabbi. It means that the Rebbe should be walking ahead, and you shall walk behind him, one to the right and one to the left. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya Mahalach Negi Rabbi, somebody walks right equal to his Rebbe, Harezeh Bor. But he walks a Chayri Rabbi, Harezeh Megaseh Ruach. Not supposed to walk behind your Rebbe either. Why? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, the Medrash says that when Moshe and Aaron used to walk, another one of you used to follow them and say, when will they die and we'll take over? So if you walk behind your Rebbe, it looks like you're waiting to take over. Rabbi Yashiv explains in the Sefer that if you walk behind your Rebbe, it looks like he's guiding you. So instead of you taking care of him, he's taking care of you. He's showing you the way. He's your guide. So what you supposed to do? Says the Gemara, "Mitzadet to the walk behind, but not directly behind, to the side." And that's the halacha. You're not supposed to walk next to your Rebbe or behind your Rebbe, directly behind him. But the Sfas Emes says, even though you're not supposed to walk, you could stand. To stand equal, you know, in the same row as your Rebbe, that is permitted. Tosfos Yeshanim asks a different question. He says, the Gemara says, in Masech the Brachas, that Ein Mechabdim B'drachim, that when one goes on the road, we don't have all the rules of Kavod. Yet here we're talking about walking, and we're talking about the rules of Kavod. So he says there's a difference, and there's an interesting halach l'maisa from that. If you started out on a trip together, or you met your Rebbe on the road. When is the halach of Ein Mechabdim B'drachim? If you start out, if you just happen to meet your Rebbe on the road, Ein Mechabdim B'drachim. But if a caravan or people start traveling together, even though they're traveling, you have to be Mechabed your Rebbe. What would that mean? That would mean, I sort of saw him say, that let's say you leave in a caravan, or going somewhere together, a lineup traveling somewhere, and your Rebbe's in the front car, you're not supposed to pass him. The Ritva says, the halach of Ein Mechabdim B'drachim is not in the city. Al Gemara is talking in the city. Even in the city, even when you're walking, you're supposed to be Mechabed your Rebbe. Ein Mechabdim B'drachim is like when you're on the highway. So we learned, the Klapei HaYisashem, there was a Bax, or Bay Shnei Gerolos, and there were two Gerolos. Tana Abonim. It says in the Pasuk, V'noshen Aaron al Shnei Asirim Gerolos, Gerolos should be put on the both goats, Gerolos should call Dover. The girl can be made out of any material. Yochel, we would think that we should put two pieces of paper on each animal. Only one. So the Rishonim asked, why would I want to do two pieces of paper? the garel is accomplished with one. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the Gemara means that I should connect two pieces of paper together, but only do it once. Or another pshat is I want to be sure that the animal that was designated Lashem is really Lashem, and that the animals that are being designated Lazazel is really Lazazel. How can we make sure that that happens? By doing it, that this animal gets designated Lashem twice. Then I know for sure this one is Lashem. And when this one, the animal that's Lazazel, designated twice Lazazel, I know for sure that's Lazazel. Tamalim garel echad, Lashem garel echad Lazazel, en kan Lashem ela garel echad, ven kan Lazazel ela echad. Yochel, continues the Gemara, the Braisa, Yitin Shoshem v'shal zozo al zeh, v'shal shem v'shal zozo al zeh, that after the one that was identified as Hashem, I should put the piece of paper that says Azazel on top of it, and vice versa. Tamaloy megarel echad l'Hashem, ein kan l'Hashem al echad, the one that was designated Hashem only has one piece of paper that says l'Hashem, ein kan l'Azazel al echad, the paper that has l'Azazel is only used once on the animal that's designated l'Azazel. Ask the Gemara came out time of Gerolus. Why does the Torah use the word Gerolus, Lashon Rabim? Shehei Shovin. Says the Gemara that the two pieces of paper should be the same size. Shleyasa Echod Lashem. Shleyasa Echod Shazav, Echod Shokesav. One shouldn't be gold and one shouldn't be silver. Echod Gold, Echod Cotton. Gerolus, we learn Shokal Dover. It should be made out of any piece of material. Says the Gemara Peshitta. Why not? Because we learned in the Braisa, Afisha Metzina B'Tzitz, Shashem Kosov Alov, V'hu Shazov, the Tzitz was one of the begotten that the Kohen Gadol wore. It was a gold plate, and it had on it the words Kodesh Lashem, and it was made out of gold. Yochel Av Zekain, I should think that this too should be made out of gold. Wherever I put Hashem's name, I should make it out of gold. Tamaloy Megoyel Goyel Riba, Shal Zayis, you can make it out of olive wood, Shal Egoyis, Shal Riba, Shal Eskro, any type of wood is fine. The Yerushalmi says, from here we see that when we wrote the word Hashem for the Gerolos, we didn't just make a hay. We wrote out the whole word Hashem. Why? Because the Gemara is comparing this piece of paper to the Tzitz. If the Tzitz has the whole name of Hashem, and this piece of paper only has a hay, how could you compare it to? It must be that this piece of paper also has the whole Yud Kei Vav Kei. So we learned that Ben Katan also Shneim also Dad L'Kir. He made 12 spouts for the Kir. Tana, so we explained in the Mishnah already, Kedei Shei Shneim also Achav HaKahanim, Ha'oizki B'Tomid, the 12 Kahanim who brought the Karban Tomid would be able to be Mekandish Yedayim Reglein B'Bas Achas simultaneously. Nobody have to wait online. Tana, says the Braisa, Shachris B'Meluoy, in the morning when the key was full to the top, Mekadosh Yodav Raglav and Elyon, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim were done from the upper spout. Arvis, if Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim had to be done later in the day, the Kohen only arrived later in the day, or he, let's say, he did something that he would require another, he had Hesach Hadas, that he would require another Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, Mekadosh Yodav Raglav and Atachtim at the lowest spout were used. The way most Mepharshim explain is whether there were two rows, whether there were two spouts or 12 spouts, they were on two levels. So in the morning, when the kier is full, so the water level's all the way up there, so they use the higher spout. At the end of the day, when the water level was lower, they use the lower spout. Then we learned in the Mishnah, V'afhu asa muchni l'kier, he made this pulley system for the kier to avoid the problem that the water in the kier should become disqualified. My muchni, what does a muchni mean? Amr Abayis, Abayis says, Gilgala, a pulley that submerges the water in the kir underground that should not become possible. So Mumbas HaMelech, we learned, also called Yodos HaKelim, Mumbas HaMelech made all of the handles of the Kelim out of gold. Ask the Gemara, if he's making the handles out of gold, Navdinu L'Duzov, why does he make the Kelim itself gold? Why is he only making the handles gold? Says the Gemara, Amr Abaya, B'Yodos HaKinim. We're talking about the handles of the knives. Knives, the blade of a knife cannot be made out of gold because gold is a soft material that we're concerned won't work if it's made out of gold. That's why the knife itself was not made out of gold, only the handle. Ask the Rishonim, the Meiri asked this question. Perhaps what happened was that they originally made all of the vessels out of gold, and what Mumbus came along and did was he made the handle out of gold. So the Meiri answers, if somebody originally would have gone to the bother of making the vessels out of gold, they certainly would have made the handles out of gold. They wouldn't have left that for somebody else. It must be that the vessels were not at gold. And therefore the Gemara asked, why did they only make the handles? And we answered, because there was knives. Nefei, asked the Gemara, there's another brisa. The brisa says, Afu asa kane galim, he made the base of the kalim, for oigni kalim, the handles, the yodas kalim, different types of handles, the yodas kinim, and the handles of the knives, shayyam kapurim shalzav. So we see it's not only by the knives that he only made the handles of gold. All sorts of kalim, the handles were made out of gold. Answer to Gemara, Tegma Abaya, the Katcha, the Nagi, the Chatzini, we're talking about axes and saws, all types of vessels and utensils that cannot be made out of gold, because were they to be made out of gold, they wouldn't be effective. And that's why only the handles were made out of gold. But yes, any vessel that could be made out of gold and remain usable, not only were the handles made out of gold, the entire vessel is made out of gold. So we learned in the Mishnah also, that Hilni Imai, Hilni his mother, also Nevresha Shalzov, Tana. So we learned in the Braisa. B'shar Shacham is a Rechas. When the sun comes up in the morning, Nitzotzes Yoytzem Imenu, sparks would fly from this gold Nevreshes, V'hakul Yoydin Shigiyaz Ma Krishma. Now everybody knows that the time for Krishma came. Meisvei asked the Gemara, says in the Braisa, Hakai Rishma Shachris Iman Shemishma. If somebody says Krishma together with the Anshi Mishma in the morning, or he says of it Anshi Maimed, we know the Gemara Masechta Taina says that there were kabbonis that were brought every day. Those kabbonis were owned by Klal Yisrael. And the halacha is that when a carbon is brought, the owner is supposed to be there. But all of Klal Yisrael cannot be at the Beis Hamikdash every day when the kabbonis Sibu were brought. So there were people that were designated for that purpose. They were called the Anshei Maimed. The Anshei Maimed, so the Braisa says that if somebody says Krishma, whether he says it with Anshei Mishmer, or he says it with Anshei Maimed, he's not Yoitza. Why? Because Anshei Mishmer, the Kahanim Mashkimim, they say Krishma too early. Why do they say Krishma too early? Because they know they're going to have to do the Avoida. So even though it's too early to L'chatchila say Krishma, they say it early. Vanshi Maimed, who are busy, also say it too late. Why did they say it early? Because they had to get up early, the Mefarshim explained, to cut the wood that's going to be used on the Mizbeach. So they couldn't say it early, so they said it light. So who are they saying, who did they make this Nevreshes for? The Anshi Mishmer didn't say it in the right time, and the Anshi Maimed didn't say it in the right time. Even though they were Yoitz the Mitzvah L'chatchila, not L'chatchila, they were Yoitz the Mitzvah, but we putting up this Nevreshes to tell us what the L'chatchila the time is. Rabbi Abayis says, L'shar Amad Yerushalayim, for everybody else in Yerushalayim who weren't Anshi Mishmer, who weren't Anshi Maimed, that they say that they should see the sparks flying off and know what the right time for Krishma is. So from here we see that the Zman Krishma was by the nets. So there's a few points to be made. One point to be made is that from here we see that it's still dark by the nets. Because it was completely light by the nets, why do I need any type of nevreshes to show me that it's the nets? It's light. It must be that nets it's still dark, and it's only these sparks that start coming, and that's how people should know it's the nets. Tosfos brings down two shittos, what the proper time for saying Krishma is. One shita is that the proper time for Zman Krishma is before the nets, which would work very well with our sheet Gemara, and that's why they needed the Nevreshes to show us what time that was. Another shita, which is the shita of the Rebbeinu Tam, which is actually the shita that the Shulchan Aruch brings down, is that the right time for Krishma is by the nights. However, since there's a concept of Vesikin, that Vesikin daven Shmona Esrei by the nights, and we know that Krishma has to be said before the nights, so the Krishma is said before the nights, so one could daven Shmon Esrei right by the nights.
Why doesn't Krishma?
Because apparently that there's a special inyan to say Shmon Esrei by Vesikin, and since it is Ma Krishma already, do it that way. Vafhi Tavel, we also learned in the Mishnah that Hilni made this tablet that had on it the words of the Parsha Saita, so that when writing the Parsha Saita, one could just take it off this tablet. Shnamina, from here we see that Kaisu Megillah Latinik Lislamabad. The Shaila is, can one write just one separate parsha of the Torah? Here it seems that one may, because that's exactly what she did. Amar Shlokish Meshum Rabbi Yanai, Baalapes. Here we're speaking that they didn't write the whole parsha, they just wrote, so there's a machlokes how to learn this. Rashi said they just wrote Rosh Tevis. They just wrote the words in abbreviation. That's how Rashi learns. The Ritva learns they wrote out all the letters, but they didn't write them as words. They kept the letters separate, and that's why it's not an issue. Meisvei asked the Gemara. It says in the Braisa, Shukaisiv, when one is writing, Roy of a Kaisiv, Mashikos of a tablet, he follows exactly what it says, what was on the tablet. And if the tablet only had Rosh Tevis, so he can't copy only Rosh Tevis. Ema answers the Gemara. Don't say that he copied, he duplicated exactly what it said on the tablet. Ema Roy of a Kaisiv, Kamashikos of a tablet. It's more, he uses the tablet only to remind him what it says, but not exactly the words, because the exact words were not on the tablet. Ask the Gemara another kasha. Meisvei, it says in the Braisa, Shikosev, when he writes, Roy v'kosev, Mashikosev b'tavla. He follows what it says in the tablet. Or Makos b'tavla. What does it write in the tablet? Im shochav ish oisach, v'mloy shochav, im satis, im loy satis. So it says clearly, it wasn't just Rosh Tevis, it was all words. And it says, the Gemara hasn't been serugin. So the way Rashi explains, is that three words were written. Every pasuk, the first three words of the pasuk were written, and then the rest of the pasuk was not, and that would be enough of a reminder for whoever was copying to know what to write. As Taisvis, the halacha is that when one is writing, say for Torah or Tefillin, he has to be careful to have in front of him a kosher, all the words to copy. So how could one write the Parsha Soita different? So the Tosfos answers, since the Parsha Soita is a small Parsha, what do you call it, then you don't have to have that halacha. When is the halacha that you have to have it written out in front of you when you're writing something longer? So the concern, if you don't have it in front of you, you may skip words, you might write spell wrong. Not when you're writing a small Parsha. Another terrace the Tosfos says is that these words, Serugin, is enough to make sure that you'll do it right. The Chassam Sofer says a different Teretz, very nice Teretz. The Chassam Sofer says, a Sefer Torah is called a Sefer. So a Sefer, how is a Sefer properly written? If it's duplicated from something else, Tefillin, Mezuzah is the same. The Parsha Soita, there is no din that it has to be a Sefer. It has to be written, but there's no din of a Sefer. So since it doesn't require that it should be written as a sefer, it doesn't have to be copied from something that has all the words. There's an interesting machloikis. The Magen Avraham says that our Gemara began a sugya, if you could write just one parasha of the Torah, is it appropriate or inappropriate? Says the Magen Avraham, that was only in those times where the only way to write a parasha was you had to actually write it out. So it was difficult and time consuming. So perhaps, as a machloikis, you can maybe only write one parsha. Says the Magram, nowadays where printing is easy and inexpensive, there is no hetter to have only certain parshas. That's what the Magram Avram says. The Taz disagrees with Magram Avram, and the Chaznis says just the opposite of the Magram Avram. He says only when you're writing does it have a kedusha. So since it has a kedusha, perhaps you have to write the whole sefer, you can't write parts. Now we're not writing, we're just printing. A printed sefer doesn't really have that level of kedusha, and so therefore certainly you don't have to write the whole sefer, just parts are adequate.